Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery for Sharon Katz, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. I wanted to discuss this week's Parashat HaShavua from the Torah, as we've been doing for a couple of months now. But the situation is such where we have to devote a show to the latest development in Israel, because the so-called Trump Middle East peace plan, which is really a suicide plan, has now been revealed. We now see what the outlines are of his so-called peace plan, which really is national suicide for Israel, and the danger to Israel is tremendous. We're going to devote a show to it to explain to you why Donald Trump poses such a tremendous danger now to Israel. And may God help us from his so-called peace plan and from all the other machinations that we see going on now from him and his evil family. First of all, let's understand that his so-called peace plan involves the following. And how do we know that it involves the following? Because Saib Arikat, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, a PLO terrorist murderer who was one of the negotiators for the PLO terrorists that Trump and Netanyahu want to negotiate with, revealed the plan. He revealed what the Trump administration told him would be the outlines of their plan. And here are the details that he revealed. Now, I have to tell you that I could not find any decent articles on this in English. I only found them in Hebrew. There are articles on it in Hebrew. There are articles on it in Arabic. There are no decent articles in English which shows what a joke all the Jewish websites and the so-called Jewish newspapers and the so-called Arut Sheva and all the other ridiculous sites that are out there, what a farce they are, including the so-called right-wing ones that are anything but right-wing. But anyway, because I couldn't find anything decent in English, I'm going to have to show this to you in Hebrew, and we'll translate what we have to translate so that you'll understand what's going on here, because there are two basic elements to Trump's suicide plan for Israel. And again, I want you to understand that Trump is worse than Obama and worse than Hillary Clinton for Israel. If you're a Jew and you care about Israel and you care about your people and you have the slightest, if you have even an ounce of sanity in you, you'll understand that this is the issue you should be concerned about. If you're not, you're a pig and a traitor. This is the issue you should be concerned about. And Trump is worse than Obama and worse than Hillary Clinton. He's the worst nightmare we could have now. Now, he has come out with an actual plan. He's coming forward with an actual peace plan that he wants to impose on Israel. And don't listen to him saying, well, it's up to the parties and so on and so forth. No, he's going to push hard to impose this plan. And is already doing so. Behind the scenes, he's already applying heavy pressure. He's come out with an actual plan. Obama, by the way, never actually came out with a plan. He came out with general outlines and general concepts. And of course, Barack Hussein Obama is an enemy of Israel. He was a Muslim anti-Semite. But he never actually came out with an actual plan, because he knew that both sides would reject it. It wouldn't go over well with Obama. Couldn't do it. Trump can. And God forbid. And that's why he's so dangerous. And so he's come out with an actual plan. This is something we never got during the 8 years of Obama's presidency. There are two things under his plan that are suicidal for Israel, and the Israelis are already accepting it because Trump is the one who proposed it. If Obama had proposed the same exact plan, they'd all be screaming, you anti-Semite, you're against Israel, you're a Muslim. They'd be screaming and yelling because they hated, Israelis hated Obama. But when Trump proposes it, they're willing to accept it because they love him. And they trust him, even though he's their enemy. Now, let's start off by looking at what the plan entails. Under his plan, Israel must surrender 90% of Judea and Samaria, Yehuda veShomron, which is the biblical heartland of Israel. That will put Israel in boundaries that are only 6 to 9 miles wide. Complete suicide for Israel. 90% of Judea and Samaria goes to the PLO terrorists to create a PLO terrorist Nazi state in the heartland of biblical Israel. All of Israel will be within the range of Arab terrorist artillery. All of Israel will turn into Sderot. What is Sderot? Sderot is the town that is on the border of Gaza now, after the Jews, the insane Jews, surrendered Gaza and expelled the Jews from Gush Katif. Now there are thousands and thousands of Arab missiles are being fired into Sderot, and they don't have a moment's peace there. That's going to be all of Israel, and it's going to be much worse than that. And the Israeli airport will be under constant attack. You won't be able to fly to Israel. There'll be no security in the country. The whole country will be under constant attack. That's what will happen when Israel goes back to those suicidal borders. The borders that Trump is proposing were once called by Abba Eben in Hebrew, Abba Eben in English. He was the left-wing foreign minister of the left-wing Labor Party, and he called those borders Auschwitz lines, Holocaust lines, suicide lines. Golda Meir from the left-wing socialist Labor Party, even she said that any Jew who would support returning to such borders would have to be a traitor. And that's what the Likud government under Netanyahu is now trying to pass on and trying to say is acceptable because of Trump. Now, 90% of Judea and Samaria would go to the PLO terrorists. Complete insanity. East Jerusalem, this is what they call the Arab neighborhoods in Jerusalem, would also be transferred over to create the so-called capital of the PLO terrorist Nazi state. And so Israel loses Jerusalem and loses 90% of Judea and Samaria and goes back to borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide, borders that are completely indefensible and completely insane. That's Trump's great plan for the Middle East. And the great plan of his Jewish son-in-law and his so-called Jewish daughter, who isn't really Jewish, who didn't really convert, the whole thing was a farce. And we're the only ones that have said all along that this is a catastrophe for Israel. This is insanity for Israel. This is not good that Trump claims he recognizes Jerusalem as Israel's capital. It's terrible. Do you know what that has caused? Let me show you the latest poll from Channel 2 News. Channel 2 is the biggest television station in Israel. It's the biggest news source in the state of Israel, the biggest part of the Israeli news media. Here's the latest poll. 51% of Israelis, now you see this in Hebrew now, right? This is in Hebrew. And by the way, what I'm showing you, the articles and things that I'm showing you are in Hebrew because I can't get English. I haven't been able to find English sources for this. But 51% of Israelis are now willing to surrender East Jerusalem to the PLO terrorists. That's what this poll shows. It says in the poll, Arab neighborhoods in Jerusalem. It's the same thing. In other words, areas in Jerusalem where the Arabs are a majority of the population. That's how they're selling it to the people of Israel, that they're going to surrender these areas, which is insanity. That means Jerusalem will be divided. The Jews are losing Jerusalem. East Jerusalem is Jerusalem. That's the important part of Jerusalem. That's the true, sacred, and important part of Jerusalem, and that's the part of Jerusalem that Trump wants Israel to surrender. 51% of Israelis are now saying they're willing to go along with this because Trump is proposing it. The same poll, the same Channel 2 News poll, asked Israelis this question, the same question when Obama was president a year ago. At that time, only 36% of Israelis, only, it's insane that even one Israeli would support this, but 36% of Israelis went along with this at that time. They said that they would accept the surrender of so-called Arab neighborhoods in Jerusalem to create a PLO terrorist state with Jerusalem as its capital. 36% of Israelis went along with this in the poll last year when Obama was president. So 64% were against it. 64%, nearly two-thirds of Israelis were against it. 36%, or a little more than a third, were in favor. It was 64 to 36 when Obama was president. With Trump in the White House, it's 51-49. The majority now support this plan. He is making it kosher, in quotes, to surrender and commit suicide and do things that were unthinkable, that are insane and unthinkable and should be unthinkable. He is making this palatable And by the way, I have a question. I have a question here. I thought when Trump recognized Jerusalem, that solves the issue of Jerusalem. Now we can be sure that Jerusalem will forever be ours. No, it's what we told you. He wasn't recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital. He was recognizing West Jerusalem, which the whole world agrees is Israel's capital. West Jerusalem, that the whole world would accept that. East Jerusalem, he wants to give to the PLO terrorists. Even the left used to say, a short while ago, the left used to say, we would never surrender East Jerusalem, never. All of Jerusalem is part of the land of Israel. Anyone who even talks, speaks about negotiating about Jerusalem, even thinks about it, is a traitor. The left used to say that. Now, the Likud, everybody's saying, well, if Trump proposes it, it must be okay. Here's another figure from the poll, and again, this is all in Hebrew. I'm showing Hebrew things on the screen because I haven't found any English articles that show this. But this is what it means. I'm accurately translating what it means. In this Channel 2 news poll, 55% of Israelis now believe there will be a deal, or there can be a deal because of Trump, because Trump is president. That there can be a deal because of Trump. So in other words, a majority of Israelis are now open to this insanity and are now accepting this insanity. And we've just started. You can imagine the bombardment and the propaganda that they're going to be getting and the massive pressure that this can bring. The 51% and the 55% that I'm showing you can easily balloon to 60 or 70%. And then this becomes unstoppable, God forbid. That's the danger we're facing right now because of Trump. When Obama was president, nobody thought that there could be a deal. Nobody even thought about there being a deal like this. Nobody even thought there was any chance because Israelis hated Obama and didn't trust him and didn't want to do any deals while he was president. But with Trump, they trust Trump. They're willing to surrender everything. After all, he said he recognizes Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Now we have to trust him. Now we have to give up everything. You idiots! You idiots! And there continues to be a complete freeze on Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem. That's really what's important here. Because if Bibi Netanyahu, the traitor, and his traitor government, Naftali Bennett and all the other traitors, Lieberman and all the other traitors in his government, if they had allowed natural Jewish growth and natural Jewish building and real Jewish building, and had promoted Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, there'd be so many Jews living there now that we wouldn't even be speaking about this because it would be completely impractical to speak about giving up anything. All of Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem would be in Jewish hands and it would be impractical to speak about giving anything up. But for the past 9 years, we've had a freeze on Jewish building, 8 years under Obama, and now the 1 year Trump has been in office, the freeze has continued. There's been no end to the freeze. No end to the freeze. So did Trump's recognition of Jerusalem save Jerusalem for the Jews and give Jerusalem to the Jews? The opposite. Trump's so-called recognition of Israel puts Jerusalem in greater danger than ever before. Because now the insane Jews are willing to surrender and willing because the Israeli Jews say, oh, we have an American president who recognizes, big deal. So they're willing to surrender the heart and soul of the Jewish people, Jerusalem. And Judea and Samaria is the heart and soul of the land of Israel. They're willing to surrender it because, after all, Trump is president. We have to show, we have to make gestures. We have to show how grateful we are. And Netanyahu has always wanted to surrender. Always. Netanyahu's part of the establishment. He's just as bad as the left. He is the left as well. He's a complete fraud and a liar, just as Trump is a fraud and a liar and a bluff in the United States. He's not Trump, is no conservative. Trump is a fraud and a bluff and a liar in the United States. Same type of leader in Israel, Netanyahu, except Netanyahu, as much of a liar and a fraud he is, at least Netanyahu is intelligent. Trump isn't even intelligent, even though he calls himself a genius and says that he's a very stable genius. He's not stable and he's not a genius. He's neither. But anyway, there are only two ways now to stop this insanity. There are only two ways we could stop it. One is that Hashem, God, can miraculously protect the Jews and protect Israel. And that's what God has been doing now, all these years, because the insane, stupid, lunatic Jews would have committed suicide a long time ago if Hashem had not given them enemies, Arab enemies, who are stupider than they are. Every time the Jews propose suicidal retreats and surrenders, the insane Arabs reject it and say, no, this is not acceptable. I want more. You know, they want even more. They're not happy with it. This is a miracle, an incredible miracle, that Hashem has created Arab leaders who are dumber than the Jews and more insane than the Jews. That's a miracle. To be crazier and dumber than the Jews when it comes to survival, that is a true miracle. And by the way, why would Hashem be saving the Jews? Look at how horrible. Are they worth saving even? That's a question that some people might be asking. Of course they're worth saving. And not just for this generation, but for future generations, because this generation is evil. But future generations, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, will not be evil. And by the way, there are righteous, good Jews. They're not the majority of the Jewish people, that's for sure, but there are righteous, good Jews who would also be victimized by this, and Hashem also loves them and is concerned about them. And they're the ones who keep us alive. The Jews in Judea and Samaria, the Jews that are part of the Hilltop Youth, the Jews that do support what Rabbi Kahana stood for, those Jews in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel, they are the good Jews that keep the Jewish people alive. For their sake, Hashem miraculously saves us. So one way we could be saved is for Hashem to save us by continuing to give us Arab leaders who are so dumb that they will continue to reject this and say, no, this isn't good enough, we want more, and make demands that are impossible. That's something Arabs have done frequently, and it's one of the things that has saved Israel. They've rejected offers that Israel and the United States have made to them, which would constitute national suicide for Israel. Baruch Hashem, thank God, they rejected those offers. Yasser Arafat famously rejected it when they had the Camp David talks. And so if they continue to do that, that would save us. But there's no guarantee that will continue, that Hashem will continue to do this. Hashem may decide to punish us, God forbid. The Jews certainly are not worthy of all the miraculous interventions we've been getting. This is because of Hashem's great chesed, his great mercy, and his kindness. But there's no guarantee that will continue. The possibility that we will come under punishment now and that Hashem will allow this to go forward, God forbid, that possibility always exists. That danger always exists. Because Hashem is not just a God of mercy, he's also a God of truth. And the Jews, he may feel the time has come to teach the Jews a lesson. God forbid, I hope that doesn't happen. We hope and pray that doesn't happen. We pray that Hashem should mercifully protect Israel and protect the Jewish people despite their stupidity and their insanity. Now, that's one way to stop this. And by the way, even if it is stopped miraculously by Hashem, that's bad that the Jewish people have to rely on that. You know what that means? That means that we eventually down the line will answer for that on Judgment Day. Hashem will say, do you know I had to intervene miraculously because you were so stupid, because you were willing to do this terrible, evil thing? I had to intervene miraculously to stop you from carrying out this insanity. That's going to be held against us on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment, God forbid. So that's not good when Hashem has to step in to protect us miraculously from our own stupidity. That's not good, because that is held against us. That is held against us. And someday when things are held against you and you have debt to pay, that's not a good situation. You don't want to be in that situation on the Day of Judgment. God forbid. So one way to stop it is Hashem miraculously intervenes to stop it. The second way to stop it is that the Jewish people, or enough of the Jewish people, wake up. Most Jews are not going to wake up. Most Jews are assimilated, intermarried, don't give a damn about Israel. They're not going to wake up. They're not going to do anything. But if enough of the Jews wake up, Hashem is so merciful that even if a large minority of the Jews would wake up, that would, I believe that would do it. then we would have redemption. Then we'd be saved from this and we'd have redemption. If we could just get enough Jews to wake up and stand up against this, then we'd have redemption. That's what JTF is trying to do. We're trying to wake the Jews up and present the facts, the simple facts to the Jewish people. How could you go along with this? How could you be so crazy? What is wrong with you? That's what we're trying to do. We're reaching thousands of Israeli Jews every week with our Hebrew videos because we have an advertising campaign. Thousands and thousands of Jews come to our videos. And so we present a picture to them that they don't see anywhere else. Now, the problem is they only see our video, and then for the next 24 hours, rest of 24 hours, they see everything else saying the exact opposite. So we have an uphill fight. And that's only with the Jews that we reach, which is thousands. There are 6 million Jews in Israel, the vast majority. We can't reach because we don't have enough advertising dollars to reach millions. We can only reach thousands. Our advertising dollars will only go as far as what we can afford. So we have quite an uphill battle, but we have to do it. We have to speak up. We're the only ones telling the truth. We have to speak up, and we really are the only ones telling the truth. I don't see anyone else saying, what is going on here? What is this? I don't see anyone else saying this. And I mean that. Here or in Israel, I don't see it. Anyway, that's what we're put in this world for, to make a difference and stand for the truth and stand for righteousness and justice. Rabbi Kahana, a blessed memory, was proven right. Do you know how many times, do you have any idea how many times he was on one side and all the other leaders were on the other side? Most of my life, when Rabbi Kahana was alive, most of my life, what I saw were two types of Jewish leaders. Just two types of Jewish leaders. There was Rabbi Kahana, and then there were all the rest. And it was literally that bad. He was right, and all the rest were wrong. When we started our campaign to free Soviet Jewry, a violent campaign to free Soviet Jewry, everybody thought we were crazy. What are you doing? It's going to make things worse. They're going to slaughter the Soviet Jews. Then you'll never get them out. And we can't free all of them. Be realistic. They're not going to just open up the doors and let them all out. We were proven right, and everyone else was proven wrong. And that happened over and over again with Rabbi Kahana. His plan to move the Arabs out of Israel. His saying, if you don't vote for Rabbi Kahana, you're going to vote for Arafat. That's like voting for Arafat. Either Kahana or Arafat. If you don't support me, you're going to get Arafat instead. And everybody laughed at him and ridiculed him. Arafat. Nobody will... Arafat was like Adolf Hitler to the Jews in the 1980s when Rabbi Kahana made that prediction when he was in the Knesset. And surely enough, just several years after his assassination with the Oslo agreements, 3 years, in fact, after he was assassinated, he didn't live to see it, but 3 years after his assassination, the Jews invited Yasser Arafat to the land of Israel with tens of thousands of armed Arab Muslim Nazi terrorist butchers and started the insane Oslo agreements. Rabbi Kahana was proven right over and over again. He was the only one that was right, and all the others were wrong. And today, his followers, the Kahanists, the true Kahanists, once again, are right. And we're going to be proven right. We can actually even prove it now. I mean, the facts are all on our side. It's obvious that this is crazy. It's obvious that this is madness, what's going on now. I mean, what are we saying that's wrong here? Is it good that Trump is proposing that Israel give up 90% of Judea and Samaria? That's good? You like that? Is it good that Trump is saying that Israel should give up East Jerusalem? That's good? You like that? Is it good that Trump is proposing so-called peace plans that constitute national suicide for Israel, that every Jewish politician in Israel only a few years ago told us was national suicide? Is it good that Israel would be within boundaries that are 6 to 9 miles wide? What am I saying here that is wrong? Tell me what I'm saying that's wrong. And I'm the only one saying these things. But tell me which of the things I've said on this program this week are wrong. Which of the things I've said is wrong? Tell me. We got to wake people up in Israel, and we got to wake them up fast. That's our job. the one fortunate thing about Israel, there are only 6 million Jews there. So a country that size, it's easier to reach people if only we had more advertising money. So, but at least we're reaching what we're reaching, and at least we're doing whatever we can. If you want more Jews in Israel to hear this message, the truth, from people, if there's one group that doesn't care about popularity and that is not afraid to say things that are controversial, as long as they're true, if there's one group that it really tells it like it is, you know it's JTF. If there's one Jewish group that's willing to really lose popularity and get hit on the head just to stand for the truth, you know that it's us. And if that's the group that you want to support, a group that's honest and truthful and fighting for what's right, if that's what you want, and you want the Jews of Israel to hear that message because it's essential to the survival of the Jewish people, then you're in the right place. Help us. Help us, and if we reach enough people with the facts and with the truth, then we do have a chance of getting Moshe Feiglin and his Zehut party into the Knesset in the next election, and we do have a chance of creating a movement, a JTF movement in Hebrew. JTF in Hebrew is Koach Mesima Yehudi, is how you say Jewish Task Force in Hebrew. We can make Koach Mesima Yehudi a movement that will wake up enough Jews to prevent disasters like this. Because if you give me tens of thousands of Jews that are willing to put their bodies on the line to prevent surrenders and prevent retreats, to prevent expulsions, you give me tens of thousands of active Jews that are willing to do this and that are not brainwashed and that are truly ideological and committed, you help me build a movement like that, we can change Jewish history and we can prevent a lot of disasters. So that's what we're working on. And we need your help because, again, the more you help us, the more you help us financially, the more people we can reach with our advertising campaign. And the more you spread the word about our English language movement, the stronger we are. So the more capable we are of making a difference. By the way, just to give you an example of the difference between the Hebrew and the English language movement, the people speaking about our Hebrew language Facebook page, we have, I think the latest number was 1,830 people are currently speaking about our, at any one time, 1,830 Israeli Jews are speaking about our Hebrew language page. And I think the English language page was like 17 or 18 people speaking about it at any one time. So the Hebrew page is literally 100 times as active as the English page. So the English language movement is not doing as well as it should, to say the least. But the Hebrew movement, you know, for the limited budget we have, is actually incredibly active. The Hebrew movement. We got to make it much more active. We got to make a difference to make sure that the politicians that are selling us out, like Netanyahu, can't sell us out. We got to make sure they are honest and decent and righteous and courageous and God-fearing Jews in charge of Israel. When we have that, then the final redemption will come for Israel and for the world. If you want to make a difference, join with us, because if we fight together, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.